morning.
Good morning.
It's a great pleasure to be on Rabbi Avram Goldhar. I live in Passaic, New Jersey, originally from Toronto, Canada. And I'm here this weekend because of the NFT conference, as well as our conversation with Eishet Torah, which my background is with Eishet Torah in New York and many years in Yerushalayim. So a little bit of background before I tell you about what I thought we'd do today and the time that we have. My background is really trying to come up with ways to help people initially master the ideas and learning. Because when I worked with Eishet Torah for many years, one of the challenges people had was once you get involved in learning, even as you become more advanced, it becomes somewhat piecemeal. You have a daf there, a parak there, a parsha here, a pasuk here, a rashi, a ramban. But over time, as you learn, we learn a lot, but we don't necessarily have a way of holding on to it. We kind of learn it, we enjoy it, we share it, but a lot of it starts to fade away because we haven't developed a way to hold on to our learning in a cohesive, coherent way that we can continuously build on. And one of the things that I definitely wanted was a way of learning that, you know, one of the things I always felt most compelling about learning was whether you're 7, 17, or 70, it's the same Torah keeps maturing. And I found actually, initially, that it was every year was a different Indian in the Parsha, but it wasn't actually building on what I learned last year. Many times when I got back to Bereishis, I really felt like I was back at the beginning. So what I thought I'd do with you today is I ended up developing a number of learning programs, initially in Kodesh, to really give people the big picture, a way of holding on to the ideas of the Torah in a systematic way, to show people that they could master what they learned, they could know it, they could build. I started a program in the Chumash, just as an example, and then I'll get into the presentation, where I developed a curricula where if you take all the psukas and simas in the Chumash, all the little paragraphs in the Chumash, little parshiot, if you add them all up, do you have an idea of how many little parshiot there are in the Chumash? Someone say 613. Not 613. They're about 675. So I developed a curricula that we titled every single one. We went through the Chumash. It was a four-month curricula. And we go through the entire Chumash. And for the first day is Or, second day is Rikia. We titled every one. We did five a day. If you do five simanim, title five parshiyos a day, it's 675. It takes roughly about 4 months for someone to have a grasp of what's in Chamisha Chumash Torah in a way that's easy to review. It takes no more than 10 minutes to review all 675. So if you spend 2 minutes on Bereishis, 2 minutes one day on Mondays, 2 minutes on Shmos on Tuesdays, every week you can keep your hands and head in what's in Chamisha Chumash Torah. So as you learn, besides getting involved in specific inyanim, you can connect the dots and see how things fit together. I also developed a curricula for Shas Mishnayos. It was a three-month course, but to go through the Shisha Sidra Mishnah in a way that you can have mastery of what's inside each of the Masechtas, all the most important halachas, which I always say that we're always, you know, if you want Kahati ever, he's always reminding us of certain things we should know, but we always forget, like Trumas and Mises, Mises Shani, you know, what are the levels of Hafrasha, or Tuma, Rishon Shani, Shlishi, Revi, what exactly, things that we know, we forget, we have to be reminded of. I developed a course that you could hold on to it, as well as the structure of the Prakim in Shas Mishnai, so that after 3 months, someone would go through that program and they would have a grasp of everything from brachas to uksin in a way that they could have that table contents in their mind. What I'd like to do is suggest, this is the time we have, I do have a course to go through the entire Chumash in about an hour, but because we only have less than that time, I thought I'd give you just a taste of, we'll go through Bereishis and Shmos. I'll give you a little overview. Bereishis and Shmos, we'll fit it together, and we'll see that by getting the big picture using this one approach, it's a very effective way of taking everything we know and then putting it together in a way that more things can come from it. So what I'd like to do is, with your participation, I'm going to lay out, I'm going to use our invisible screen. Here it comes, I'm going to press the button. It's coming right here. There's a big screen. Just imagine a big screen, and there's a screen over here you can look at, so you won't be, it's over here. There's a screen. And I'm going to use the screen. I'm going to put information up on the screen. I'm going to explain things, and then I'm going to ask you just to repeat what I've said. Just repeating what I've said, because what we want to attain is a level of mastery. Because the Torah standard for learning is mastery. B'shinantum v'necha means it should be mechudad b'sicha, it should be sharp in your mouth. We're told, we say every day, that b'shinantum v'necha, everything we learn we should know well enough that if someone asks a question, we should not hesitate. We shouldn't be magamgen, we should answer miyad, we should answer immediately. So we'll just use that as a standard of learning. And we'll go through Bereishis and Shmos, and the idea would be typically after an hour, our standard would be that it would take about 2 minutes to review Chamisha Chumashi Torah by memory together as a group. So I will say that it'll take us no more than probably a minute to go through Bereishis and Shmos together on an overview level, of course. But I think you'll see, even though what I'm going to give over is somewhat basic, I think you'll find the organization, the way we'll put together, somewhat novel. Okay? So here we go. I'm going to put information up on the screen. I'll explain things step by step. And then I'm going to ask you to repeat what I've said, because I want to make sure it's clear, and then we'll keep building together. But please, just repeat what I said in a loud and clear voice, and we'll go together. Here we go. Chumash divides the 54 parshas. Here's our screen. There are five columns of numbers. Five columns of numbers. So we're going to do the Hebrew version. Hebrew version is over here. Five columns of numbers. There are columns listed down to 12, a column listed down to 11. There's a column of numbers from 1 down to 10, 1 down to 10, 1 down to 11. I'll repeat. We have five columns of numbers. There are 54 parshas in the Torah. There are 12 parshas in Bereishis. There are 11 in Shmos, 10 in Vayikra, 10 in Midbar, and 11 in Var. Once again, there are 12 parshas in Bereishis, 11 in Shmos, 10 in Vayikra, 10 in Midbar, 11 in Var. 12, 11, 10, 10, 11, 12, 11, 10, 10, 11. By the time, usually after 1 hour, we would know what's inside each of these 12, 11, 10, 10, 11 parshas. So let's just do a review. How many parshas are there in Bereishis?
Oh.
How many in Shmos?
Yeah.
And Vayikra.
Yeah.
And the Midbar?
Yeah.
And Var? Yeah. Good, let's do that again. How many parshas are there in Bereishis? And Shmos? And Vayikra? And the Midbar? And Var? Good, bonus round altogether. How many parshas are there in Vayikra? How about Bereishis? And Dvarim? And Shmos? And the Midbar? Great. So we're going to go through 12, 11, 10, 10, 11 parshas, and the idea would be is once we have the 12, 11, 10, 10, 11 parshas down on the macro, it gives us greater ability to go in step by step and get down then what follows, which is all 675 basic breakdowns of the Chumash. Here we go. The Chumash divided into two main parts. I'm going to put a big line between Bereishis and Noah. Between Bereishis and Noah. The Chumash divided into two main parts. Bereishis deals with what we'll call B'nai Yisrael. It's the development of B'nai Yisrael, starting from Bria, Adam, as we know, to the Avos. By the end of Parshas by Chumash Bereishis, we have B'nai Yisrael in Mitzrayim, so it's all about B'nai Yisrael. Shmos Vayikra ben Midbar and Dvarim, we'll call it, deals with Am Yisrael. It deals with the nation of Kol Yisrael, right, starting in Shmos. We see how we start to grow, develop, change as we go from Mitzrayim, eventually to the borders of Eretz Canaan. So Bereishis is about B'nai Yisrael, Shmos at the end is about Am Yisrel. Bereishis is about, Shmos at the end is about, good. Then the last four Chumashim, from Shmos to Dvarim, is dividing into two sections. I'll put a dotted line between the Midbar and Dvarim. Here's a dotted line. The middle three Chumashim, Shmos, Vayikra, and the Midbar, deal with the actual binyan of Kol Yisrael, meaning that's where the building of Kol Yisrael is happening. From Shmos, Vayikra, the Midbar, we see what's happening on the ground, so to speak, in the Mitzrayim, through the Midbar, as we travel. Dvarim is what we'll call Mishneh Torah Shel Moshe. Mishneh Torah Shel Moshe is the review of the Torah, as we know. Moshe Rabbeinu provides us what happened specifically in Shmos, Vayikra, and the Midbar as he prepares to go into Eretz Yisrael without him. Why does Moshe Rabbeinu only review Shmos, Vayikra, and the Midbar? Question I had from the fifth grader one. Why didn't he review Bereishis? Good question. Why didn't he review Bereishis? Any ideas why he didn't review Bereishis? He wasn't there, right? He wasn't there. So once you get the big betray, he wasn't there, and that's why he didn't review Bereishis. He could only review what happened to Shmos, Vayikra, and Midbar. Great. So there's a basic organization. Let's review. Right? The middle three Chumashim, Shmos, Vayikra, and Midbar is the actual binyan. Dvarim is Mishneh Torah Shel Moshe. The middle three Chumashim is the actual binyan. Dvarim is? Right. So the Chumash already has a semblance of organization. Bereishis stands out on its own. That's the name itself. Dvarim has Mishneh Torah Shel Moshe, and the middle three is the actual binyan. Great, let's do a little review, and then we'll go into Bereishis. Here goes. Chumash divides the 54 parshas. How many parshas are there in Bereishis? And Shmos, and Vayikra, and the Midbar, and Dvar. Chumash divides the two main parts. Bereishis deals with, Shmos at the end deals with. The middle three is the actual binyan, and Dvarim is? Great. Now, Bereishis we can subdivide has how many parshas? 12. It divides the two main sections. I put a line between Noah and Lechel, between 2 and 3. Noah and Lechel. Bereishis will divide into two parts. Bereishis and Noah covers the first 20 doros, the first 20 generations of mankind. We'll look at that in a moment. From Lechel to the end, things slow down considerably, and we only look at the four doros, from Avram down to Yosef, Avram, Yosef, Yaakov, and Yosef. So Bereishis and Noach, Parshas 1 and 2, the first 20 doros of mankind, 3 through 12, and the next 4 doros. First two parshas are how many doros? 20, 3 through 12 is 4. Good. What happens in those first four parshas? I'm going to run through this quickly because we're familiar with it. But there are four major events of decline, which is important to highlight. Four major events of decline. First of all, we have Shem creates the world. There's life, dye, vegetation, stars, planets, birds, fish, animals, and then there's Adam. This is good, this is good, this is good, this is good. When Adam's favorite, we have Tomo, he's placed in Gan Eden, and then he's told eventually of Shabbos, you can eat from every ape except for the ape. It does. And what happens, we know what happens, and then Nefesh comes along with woman, eats from the Ace of Death, and we have the Gerush from Gan Eden. So the first major event of the decline is Adam and Gan Eden. Adam and Gan Eden. Good. Eventually, Adam and Chava, they have two sons, Cain and Hevel. Cain gets jealous. Well, they have two different professions. What was Cain's profession? Cain was the farmer. Right. Hevel was the shepherd. The way I always remember is Hevel means Hevel Havalim because he said it was futile to work with the earth because of the Kalala, and therefore he worked with animals. So Hevel works with the livestock, Cain works with the earth, Cain gets jealous of Hevel's offering, he kills Hevel, and the call for Cain is to become a Navana, the constant person who moves on the earth. So we have Adam and Cain in one, Adam and Cain in partial life. Then we have, by the end of Bereishis, things have gone so bad that we have the chance decides going to wipe out the entire world by means of the Mabul. Parsha 2 opens with the story of the Mabul. Everybody will wipe out except for Noah, his wife, his three sons, their three wives. All the animals will come to the Teva, and when the Teva sails off to see the second civilization, everything else will be wiped out, and they eventually will begin the world anew. How long was the Mabul for? Well, it was 1 year, right? 40 days, 1 day, it rained, but it was 1 year that the Teva was actually on the water. Fond of the water, decide they come out. A few generations later, they decide to build a massive Migdal and an ear, to stop any type of expansion in the world, crush everything in one place, using one language, which gave them a tremendous amount of potential. Of Optus, they used it the wrong way. Instead of Puruvu and Miruthars, they wanted to just crush everything in one spot. And we have eventually the stopping of that Mita Kenega Mita. They are scattered with the emergence of 70 different nations. So we have Adam and Kainu 1, Mabul, Migdal, Babel, and 2. Adam and Kainu 1, Mabul, Migdal, Babel, and 2. Parsha 1 is? Parsha 2 is? Good. Where do we have murder in the Chumash the first time? Fine, Havel. Good. Where do we have buildings so far in the Chumash? The Teva. And? The Migdal Babel, right? Two major things are built in Parshas Noach. Good. Where do we have the animals so far in the Chumash? Noah?
Bria.
Bria? Right? They're all over. Right? They're all over. Good. Adam Khan 1, Mabul, Migdal Babel, and 2. By the end of Parsha 2, Shem, by the end of Noah, Hashem is no longer interested in dealing with mankind as a whole. We have Avram is introduced. And Parshas Lechlech is where he really begins. This is the way the rest of Bereishis is organized. I'll put a circle around 3, 4, 5. Parshas Lechlech by Yen Chayitar, there's the life of Abraham. 6, Yitzhak, Parshas told us. 7 and 8 is Yaakov. 7 and 8, the easy way to remember 7 and 8 by Yetzei and Yishlach, is that Yaakov even has to confront two forms of evil. First, there's Lavan of Russia, and then there's Yetzei of Russia. By Yetzei in 7, he deals with Lavan. And 8, he has to, by Yishlach, he has to deal with confronting Esau. So 7 and 8 is Yaakov, and then also from 9, 10, 11, 12 is Yosef and Ephraim, right? The whole story of the Mechir of Yosef. The easy way to remember the breakdown of 9, 10, 11, 12 is in Parsha 9, which is Vayeshev, Yosef ends up in Mitzrayim. Parsha 10, Mikate, the brothers end up in Mitzrayim because of the famine. Parsha 11, Vayigash, Yaakov and the whole family eventually settles in Mitzrayim. And Parsha 12 is where we finally have the death of Yaakov, you know, and Yosef and the eventual situation preparing themselves for Gaul. So let's review. 3, 4, 5 is Avram. 6, Yitzhak. 7, 8, Yaakov. 9, 10, 11, 12, Yosef Echa. 3, 4, 5 is Avram. 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Good. So you see Yosef Echa, which is the first real Malkuotis within Klal Yisrael, four parshas of 12 Bereishis, which means one-third of Bereishis deals with the tension that existed between Yosef and Echa. Great. Where do we have Yitzchak? Parsha? Sorry, Parsha told us 6. Good. Where did Yosef have? 9, 10, 11, 12. Good. All right, so let's just do a review. Before we do, though, just in terms of timeline of the Chumash, do you know how many years passed in the first two Parshas, Bereishis and Noach? 1948. Good. 1948, plus we'll put in 75, because Avram appears in the age of 75. So by the end of Parshas Noah, by the beginning of Parshas Lecha, Lech Lecha, we've covered 2,023 years. From Lech Lecha to the end of the Bereishis, see how much time has passed? About 286 years. 286 years. So things slow down considerably when we get into those next 10 Parshas. Instead of dealing with ethics, we're dealing with people, relationships, families. From the end of Parshas Shmos, all the way to the end of the Chumash, which is 41 parshas in total, how many years passed? 40, right? 40 years. So now when we get into Shmos, it's clear that we have to get a sense of how everything fits together, because it's really the story of the same people traveling over 40 years. By the way, if those 40 years that pass from the end of Parshas Shmos all the way to the end of Dvarim, really we only get a good look at two of those years. Because in Parshas 6, in the Midbar, Chukas, we skip 38 years. We skip 38 years, which means really we're only getting an in-depth look at 2 years of Klal Yisrael's real growth and development once they come out of Mitzrayim. At the first year in the Midbar and then the 40th year in the Midbar. Great. Let's begin with a little review and we'll go into Shmos. In Yom HaDiyom. Here we go. Chumash divides the 64 parshas. How many parshas in Bereishis? And Shmos. And Vayikra. And the Midbar. And Dvar. Good. Chumash divides two main parts. Bereishis deals with so Shmos at the end deals with the middle three is the actual binyan. Dvarim is Mishnah Torah Moshe. Good. 12 parshas and Bereishis. The first two cover how many generations? 20. 3 through 12 is 4. Parsha 1 is Adam and Kain. Parsha 2 is Mabu and Migdal Babel. 3, 4, 5 is 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Great. Now we get into Shmos. Shmos divide is different. Shmos divide into three main sections. I'll put a circle around parshas 1, 2, 3, 4. Shmos Bayer Bo B'Shalach, that's the whole story of Mitzrayim. Whole story of Mitzrayim. First four is Mitzrayim. For Abi and Mitzrayim, 5 and 6, Yisro Mishpatim, Matan Torah. Right? Because both Yisro and Mishpatim give us over what happened in Matan Torah. You can't understand even chronologically what happened without reading Mishpatim into the story of Yisro. Right? Because they overlap, they go back and forth. So 5 and 6, Yisro Mishpatim is Matan Torah. Then 7 through 11, Tumat Tetzaveh Kisisa HaYakov Uthude, deal with the Mishkan. Right, deal with the Mishkan. So 1 through 5, 7 through 11 deals with the Mishkan. That's the basic breakdown of Shmos. We'll go through it in a moment. Let's review. The first four parshas the Yidden are in Mitzrayim. 5 and 6 is? 7 through 11 we're building the Mishkan. Good. What happened in Mitzrayim? So we've now settled Mitzrayim. Parsha Shmos begins with the whole experience what as we grow rapidly, how that impacts Par 1 begins the Shibud. We'll just call Parsha Shmos the Shibud. It's what's happening on the ground, how everything starts to happen with first labor, then kill the doesn't work, kill the boys, that doesn't work, eventually drown them in the river. And what happens there. Moshe Rabbeinu is selected in Parsha Shmos. He eventually goes at the age of 80, is not successful in Shmos, and then Parsha's Vayera, we have the first seven Matos. We'll put a seven by Vayera, the first seven Matos. Parshas Bo is the last three Matos and Yetzias Mitzrayim. And Yetzias Mitzrayim, Parshas Bo. And then Parshas Bishalach, this week's Parsha, is Kriyas Yamsuf. Kriyas Yamsuf. I always like to say that in Parshas Bo, we got the Yidden out of Mitzrayim. But in Parshas Bishalach, that's where we got the Mitzri out of the Yid. Because when we see the Mitzri finally go down, that's when we're more psychologically free from the grip of Mitzrayim. So let's review. Parsha 1 is the Shiva. Parsha 2 is the first seven Matos. Parsha 3 is the next. Parsha 4 is Kriyas. 5 and 6 is Matan Torah. Right? 50 days later of Rosh Hashanah. And another way of breaking up Yisro Mishpatim is very, very, I think, straightforward way. It's the Nasa Benishma. Yisro is the Nasa Parsha. It's where the aim and the era and just where Makabal, Omal Hashemayim in Yisro. And Mishpatim is the Nishma side of Kabbalah, the Torah, that we have to understand all the Mishpatim, everything that comes in the Torah, that's part of the Bris of Har Sinai. 5 and 6 is Matan Torah. 7 through 11, we're building the Mishnah. Now, the way 7 and 11 parshas are organized is the following way. Parshas 7 and 8 go together. Parshas 10 and 11 go together. And parsha number 9, Kisisa, stands out on its own. And parshas 7 and 8, Trumas Tetzaveh, that's where Moshe Rabbeinu goes up, Har Sinai, and that's where he gets the Tzivui, the instructions on how to build the Mishkan. And Parsha 7, Truma, that's where we have the instructions for building the Mishkan and the Kalim. The Mishkan and the Kalim is in Parsha 7. the structure, the beams, the sockets, how the Mishkan looks, and what's used within it. Tetzaveh is the Bigdei Kohuna. Bigdei Kohuna. I always divide up that on Parsha 7 is the inhuman side, the inanimate side of the Mishkan, that's Truma. Tetzaveh is the human side, the Avoda, what happens within. So Parsha 7 is Mishkan Mekayim, Parsha 8 is Bigdei Kohuna. Skipping Parsha number 9 for a moment, 10 and 11 also go together. 10 is the actual binyan of the Mishkan Mekayim, that's how everything is actually put together. And 11 we have the Bigdei Kohuna and Matamas of Mishkan. The entire Mishkan is put together and it's established. That's all. We needed them last week, and to say we personally needed it all last week. It's because they shunned it. It's all. 11 is the Mishkan Mekayim, is the Hakamas of Mishkan, where finally everything is stood up. And Parsha number 9 stands on, that's the Parsha of Chet HaEgel. If it had never been to the Egel, according to Rashi, we would have never needed a Mishkan. So I'm just going to review those parshas just so we're all clear. 7 and 11 deal with the Mishkan. 7 and 8 is the instructions for the Mishkan. 10 and 11 is the actual binyan of the Mishkan. Parsha number 9 stands out on its own. Right, that's the Chet HaEgel. Chet HaEgel. Good. Now, let's do a little review of Shmos. I just want to show you something interesting to show you how Shmos fits into the rest of the Chumash, right, with the time we have. Little review. Shmos divides into three main sections. Parshas 1, 2, 3, 4, the Yidden are in Mitzrayim. 5 and 6 is Matan, and 7 the Rebbe building the Mishkan. Parsha 1 in Mitzrayim is the Shibud. Parsha 2 is the first. 3 is the next. And you see Mitzrayim. Parsha 4 is 3. 5 and 6 is Matan Torah, right now to Mishma. And 7 to 11 we're building the Mishkan. 7 and 8 go together. That's the Shibud instructions. 7 for the Mishkan and the Kalim, 8 for the Bigdei Kohuna. Number 9, Kisisa is the Chetah. 10 and 11 are building the Mishkan and the Kalim, and 10, the Mishkan and the Kalim, and 11 is the Bigdei Kohuna and the Kamas the Mishkan. Great! Let's do a little review, and then I want to show you how something fascinating about what's happening in Shmos. Here we go. From the Divine to 54 Parshas. How many Parshas are there in Bereishis? And Shmos, and Vayikra, and the Nidbar, and Dvarim? Wait, from the Divine to too many parts. Bereishis deals with Bnei Yisrael. Shmos, the end, deals with the middle three is the actual binyan, and Dvarim is Mishnah Torah Shel Moshe. The first two parshas embrace the first 20 doros, 3 through 12 of the next, 4. Parsha 1 is Adaman, Parsha 2 is Mavulan, 3, 4, 5 is 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Good. Shmos divides into three main sections. Parsha 1, 2, 3, 4, the Yidden are in. 5 and 6 is 7 through 11, build the Parsha 1 in Mitzrayim Shmos is the Sheba. Parsha 2 is the first 7. 3 is the next. And you see Mitzrayim. Parsha 4 is? Good. 5 and 6 is? Matan Torah. 7 to 1 building the 7 and 8 go together the instructions. 7 for the Mishkan and the Kalim. 8 for the 9 the story of? 10 nation builds the and 11 they make the and they stand up. Great. Now I just want to show you something. We're doing great. Usually don't usually do this in a short amount of time, but I think we actually can get something even more accomplished. Just something very interesting to note about the Mishkan. We have so far the last five parshas in Shmos, 7 to 11, that deal with the binyan of the Mishkan. In Vayikra, we have the first eight parshas, all the way from Vayikra to Emor, where Hashem is communicating from within the Mishkan, while he's calling out to Moshe from within the Mishkan, and we learn how to use the Mishkan. And then in Bemidbar, the first three parshas, the first two parshas deal with the machaneh, how we live around the Mishkan. So you have five parshas of how to build it, eight parshas of how to use it, and three parshas how Klal Yisrael lived around it. 5 plus 8 plus 3 equals 16, right? Of the middle three chumashim, Shmos, Vayikra, and Bemidbar, 11, 10, 10, that's 31 parshas. Which means over half of the binyan of Klal Yisrael is focused on the Mishkan. How you build the Mishkan, how you use the Mishkan, and how we lived around the Mishkan. If you put in the equation, Bahar Mechukosai, Parshas 9 and 10 in Vayikra, which we really said chronologically at Har Sinai, but for some reason the Torah puts them at the end of the Vayikra. So if you add up from the beginning of the Mishkan, those 16 parshas at the end, 16 parshas, plus those two, that's a grand total of 18 parshas. 18 parshas from the beginning of the Mishkan until the completion of the Lotzah. Right? The Chumash is 54 parshas. The Mishkan is the exact middle third of the Chumash. You have 18 parshas up until the Mishkan, 18 parshas of the Mishnah, and then 18 parshas after the Mishnah. So it literally is the centerpiece of the Chumash. Now, a curious thing is, why is the Mishnah spread out over three different Chumashim? Why not just have a Chumash called Mishnah? You know, it's how you built the Mishnah and what it's all about. It'll be a little bit longer than the rest. But nevertheless, why is it spread out over these three Chumashim that deal with the Binyan of Klal Yisrael? So I'd like to make a suggestion. There are three parshas in Shemot, Vayikra, Bamidbar that all happen the exact same day, the exact same year. In Parshas Pekudei, Parsha 11 in Shemot, that's when we have the Hakamas of Mishkan. The Mishkan was stood up, that was on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. First day of Nisan is when Moshe Rabbeinu put it together. The same day Moshe Rabbeinu put it together in Parsha 11 in Shemot, in Parsha 3, Shemini of Vayikra, that's when Aaron and his sons become Kohanim. It happened on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. That's when we have the Maisa of Nadav and Abihu, was the exact same day, same year. Going to Bemidbar, in Parsha 2, Parsha Nasa, that, in Parsha Nasa, that's where the Chanukah to Mizbeach, the dedication of the Mizbeach, where the Nesim from each Shevet bring the gifts to participate in the Chinuch of the Mishnah, right? That also began the Shevet Yehuda on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. So you have Shmos, where Moshe Rabbeinu is putting up the Mishkan, Vayikra, Aaron and his sons becoming the Kohanim within the Mishkan, and the Midbar within the scene from each Shevet become the ones who give things to the Mishkan as part of the Chanukah Mizbeach. So it's just an interesting thing. But if you think about it, you really have three different relationships to the Mishkan. You have in Shmos, Moshe Rabbeinu's relationship to the Mishkan. He's the one who defends Klal Yisrael in Parsha number 9, the Kisis of the Chet HaEgel. He's the one who eventually gets all the instructions in Parsha 7 and 8 in Trumas Tetzaveh. He's the one who guides the building. Eventually in Shmos, he's the only one who can put it up, because in Shmos, it's Moshe Rabbeinu's relationship to the Mishkan. In Vayikra, it's clearly whose relationship to the Mishkan? The Kohanim's relationship to the Mishkan. That's Aaron and his sons, and they become the Kohanim. And then the Midbar is the people's relationship to the Mishkan, as they live around it, the machana around the Mishkan, and then it seems participation in the Mishkan. And just to extend it a little bit further, with 1 minute left, we might be able to say that if you take the three Chumashim, Shmos, Vayikra, Bemidbar, that deal with the binyan of Klal Yisrael, we could perhaps say that each one of those Chumashim deal with a specific side of the binyan of Klal Yisrael. We might be able to say that Shmos is Moshe Rabbeinu's relationship to Klal Yisrael. In Shmos, Parsha 1, we have his birth, his growth, then he becomes the leader, then he takes us out of Mitzrayim with all the Makos, then eventually takes us to Har Sinai, he's the one who defends us by the Chet Egel, he's the one who constructs the entire Mishkan, he stands it up. Shmos is really Moshe Rabbeinu's relationship to Klal Yisrael, the binyan of Klal Yisrael. Vayikra is clearly Torah Kohanim, it's the Torah of the Kohanim. And the Midbar is really the people's relationship to Klal Yisrael. Right? It's all of a sudden, how many Yidden are there in each Shevet? How do we divide it up? What are all the different families? What are the poor decisions we make in Parshas for Shlach? What are the different rebellions we have in Korah? What are the different things that happen? All the milchamas that we fight as we go through it, it really becomes when the Klal Yisrael starts to take over the emblems of the Binyan Klal Yisrael. And therefore, like I say, a very neat way of organizing each of the three chumashim to see how it all fits together into an overall Binyan of the nation. With that, I get to spend, just to be said, it would take us probably no more than 45 seconds to do a review. Let's see if we can do a review together, and then we'll finish. Right, here goes. Chumash divided into 54 parshas. How many parshas are there in Bereishis? And Shmos, and Vayikra, and Bemidbar, and Dvarim? Good. Chumash divided into two main parts. Bereishis deals with Bnei Yisrael. Shmos at the end deals with the middle three is the actual binyan. Dvarim is Mishnah Torah Shel Moshe. The first two parshas in Bereishis cover how many doros? 20. 3 through 12 is Parsha 1 is Adaman. Parsha 2 is Mabuen. Good. Parsha 3, 4, 5 is Avram. 6 is 7, 8 is 9, 10, 11, 12. Yosef. Good. And then Shmos, the first four parshas the Yidden are in. 5 and 6 is, and 7 through 11 building the. Good. Parsha 1 in Mitzrayim is the Shiva. Parsha 2, the first. 3, the next. And it's just right. Parsha 4 is good. 5 and 6 is Matan Torah. 7 and 11 building the. 7 and 8 are the instructions. 7 for the Mishkan and the. 8 for the. 9 the story of. 10 nations to build the Mishkan and the Kiyam. 11 to make the. big day in Kippur and then comes to Mishkan. Right? We always say that, you know, but we know in this week's parsha of Bishalach, just to conclude, we can really throw it, we have to wait 1 more minute?
Yeah.
Just want to show you something. Once you start to do this, it's very interesting to see how certain things fit up, fit together. Because if you take three parshas, Bishalach, Vayishlach, and Shlach, right, that number of parshas all share the same name. Vayishlach, Bishalach, and Shlach all for something labeled the same. So I'd like to just take a moment just to show you how conceptually you could even start to lay out greater themes. Because you look at those three parshas, they all have something in common. This week's parsha opens up, parsha Bishalach, where Hashem is concerned about our fear of going to war. Right? All right, if we're taking Derek Fleishnin, they might run back in the shrine. Right? Parshas Vayishlach and Bereshis, parsha number 6 and number 8 in Bereshis, how does it open up? Yaakov Avinu is scared of going to war with Esav. Let's go to Parsha Shlach, Parsha number 4 in Bamidbar. Bnei Israel are scared of going to war. That's why they want to send the Meraglim. So each Parsha opens with fear of going to war. Then each Parsha ends with a war, because in Parshas Vayishlach and Esav, we end up fighting against, so to speak, Shechem. There's a war with Shechem. In Parshas Bishalach, this week's Parsha, we end up fighting against Amalek. And Parsha 4, we end up going to war again. We end up going together. They're not victorious, but they try to take over Eretz Yisrael. They go to war. Another curious thing about each of these two Parshas is relations to Amalek. Because you have in Parshas Vayishlach is the birth of Amalek. At the very end, with all the growth of Esav, we have the birth of Amalek. Then in Parshas Bishalach, we have, but he comes. And in Parshas Shlach, when we go to war against, trying to take over Eretz Yisrael, we have another war, Amalek. Very interesting relationship between three. I'd like to suggest, if you look at the layout of where these parshas fit in, it's very interesting to see that Amalek always appears at a point of transition, where Klal Yisrael is going from a point of internal development, we're about to go and face the world. Why? In Vayishlach. Parsha Vayishlach, what happened? Yaakov Avinu and Parsha Vayese built up his whole family by Lava. Everything's growing. He's built up his family. He's had 20 years. He's got his wife, got his bunny. Parsha Vayishlach is the first Parsha where Yaakov Avinu has to face the outside world. Oh, what will they think of me when that happens to Shem? Oh, I have to deal with Esav. It's taking what he's built and now having to take it out to the world. And Parsha Bishalach, where did that happen? That happens after the internal development of Klal Yisrael within the tribe. Once we go to the Shiva, the seven Machos, the three Machos, this week's Parsha is the first time that Bnei Israel is being exposed to the outside world. And then, where does Parsha Shlach fit in? Once we go through Shmos, Vayikra, and the first two Parshas of the Midbar, we're building the Machaneh, after Parsha Belos, after the Chatzot, so it's below, Parsha Shlach is the first Parsha, again, we're about to face the Umat HaOlam. Right? So each Parsha is at a major transition point in Klal development. We're about to take everything that we know that we are, and we're about to take it outside to the world. And that's perhaps why Amalek always appears, because it's always a point of transition in Klal history. When something major is about to happen, we're about to realize a dream, that's when you have to come and try to cut us down. Again, where does he later appear? Later on, after Bais Rishon. And we just began the building of Bais Sheni, so we're going from Dal Bavel back to Eretz Yisrael, another major transition. Boom, he appears then. And then later on in history, as we know, in most recent history, after 2,000 years of being in Dallas, right, finally we're about to realize our dream of making, you know, getting back to Eretz Yisrael, boom, they appear again, always hitting us at a point of transition. Always hitting us as we're about to go from who we know we are internally to a point where we're about to express it to the entire world. And perhaps that's why doubt always emerges on the individual level and on the national level. That when anybody individually is going through a period of transition, where they're making a decision to take who they think or know they are, to try to make that a real thing in the world, that's when we always experience the greatest amount of doubt. Maybe, can I really do this? Am I able to do this? I think I can, but I don't know if I can. That's when doubt always cripples us or challenges us. And that's when we have to say, no, I'm going by dirt and I'm not going to be scared. On a national level, clearly we know that if you take all the peoples in the world and put them on one side of the scale, and you put Kol Yisrael, just the little Ummah that we are on the other side of the scale, we would deshuffle the entire universe, because Kol Yisrael is so much more powerful, so much more important, so much more real, and so much more necessary. We have a lot to accomplish, but we are crippled by doubt. Can we, who we are, what do we do? But, yeah. And that's perhaps why the parsha is all called Shlach, because in closing, because it all has to do with your shlichos, right? If you believe you're a shaliach here, then you don't have doubt, because you've been sent, and you have a job to do. If it's about you, then you have doubts, because who knows what your agenda is. But if Hashem sent us, we have a shlichos to do. If you accept your shlichos, then we'll accept it. So with that, I'd like to close. Thank you very much. We've covered a lot, but I appreciate it, and the rest of your day should continue on the Torah way.